Chinese New Year is the most important traditional Chinese holiday. It is also, I just learned this week, the oldest consecutive chronological calendar in human history. As I said earlier, more than 4,000 years old. So it's the oldest calendar still in use. It dates back more than 2,000 years before Christ to the time when Emperor Huang Ti introduced the first calendar. And like the Western calendar, the Chinese calendar is a yearly one, but unlike the Western calendar, the Chinese calendar is based on the cycles of the moon. Hence, we call it the lunar calendar. Whereas our Western calendar is based on the cycles of the Earth around the sun, the Earth goes around the sun one time each year, which produces the seasons, the summer, fall, winter, and spring. The Chinese calendar, on the other hand, is based on the cycles of the moon, and the moon does not go around the Earth exactly 12 times a year, which is why the Chinese New Year is celebrated on different dates each year, like Passover in Judaism or Easter in Christianity. Because of this way of dating, the beginning of Chinese New Year can be anywhere between late January, like right now, or the middle of February. A complete lunar cycle takes 60 years and thus is made up of five cycles of 12 years each. So the Chinese lunar calendar names each one of the 12 years after an animal, as we've heard. It's also a spring festival, like we find in so many cultures. It is about the coming of the light, of new life, of sweeping away the old and starting new again. There's new joy in the midst of even the worst hopelessness. There's a new opportunity to start anew. And it's echoed in the words of our scripture today from Isaiah. If you were to read the eight chapters before this passage, you would hear about a lot of despair and sadness and hopelessness, a lot of hardship that the people were experiencing. And then the prophet's words change, like the turning of the calendar. And the prophet announces hope to God's people. So it's announced not just to people who are going about their lives, but people who are in really difficult situations of hopelessness and despair. People who had been defeated in battle and many years ago carried off to a foreign land, never sure if they were ever going to see home again. People who were truly despairing. And to those folks, the prophet speaks of a new beginning, a new start, a new opportunity. Even in the midst of the worst hopelessness, God is with us. God breaks the rod of the oppressor and sets the people free. The new year is an opportunity for us to sweep away the old and to know and reflect on how God sets us free too. From old patterns, old ways of thinking, from hopelessness that we feared we could never get out of, from patterns and habits that we try to break, but it's so hard. The new year gives us an opportunity for a fresh start and reminds us of how God is in the business of new beginnings, faithfulness through the hard times, and new starts, new beginnings. I read a sermon recently by a Chinese pastor, David Kang, who said, "We are reminded that as we rejoice today, this Lunar New Year, we must not lose sight of what the celebrations of the New Year are all about. It's not about prosperity and fortune, but rather about love and family and hope for the future. It's not about food and feasts, but rather about the time spent with each other, the quality interactions we have with friends and loved ones. The Lunar New Year should be an opportunity for us to remember the love we share with each other and the blessings we wish for each other. It is a time of gathering of families and great celebrations when large extended families come back together to their ancestral places and hometowns, bearing the tidings and stories of what had happened throughout the previous year. It's a time when the family reunites and shares in each other's love and as a reminder of the important bonds and relationships between us, among the members of our close and extended family members both. So you can imagine, just like for those of us that grew up with Thanksgiving, particularly in the US, or with Christmas celebrations, it's such an important time for family. And when we say family, we know that that takes many forms, including, of course, blood relations, but also chosen and adopted family, dear friends and beloved community. As we honor our heritage and the traditions of our dear friends and our beloved community, we honor our own heritage and the traditions of others as well. The ancestors who have gone before us and shared their wisdom, sacrifice, and courage. Now, the flawed families have done their best to love and care for each other, and you know that, like at Christmas or Thanksgiving, we become especially aware of when we are separated and far from those we love. And I imagine that's an experience for many who are not able to be back with their large extended families for whatever reason. Our diverse communities, where we bring different languages and different traditions and some different values as well, are opportunities for us to grow, to be buoyed up and given new hope by one another as we share our diverse traditions. We discover more about the wondrous blessings that God has given us all in all of our different traditions that are rich and hopeful for the future. Traditions in which we pray that your life, our life, all of our lives will be filled with blessings of health and happiness, success and prosperity, and deep connections of love with one another. These are the connections that anchor us. And as we learn about each other's traditions and learn to value them all, we come closer to the celebrations that God intends for us all, closer to the rich connections that God hopes for all of us, so that we might indeed find new freedom, new beginnings, new hope. Amen.